Hey kids, what's happening? Welcome to the Coven of Awesomeness podcast. This is episode 150. Louise, how the heck are you?
150. That's fucking wild. I am... I'm fine. Today's been a bit of a weird day. I don't know why.
I mean, we're coming off an eclipse roller coaster.
We are. Yes, yes, yes.
Mercury is still doing some fucking bullshit.
Mercury is still in the microwave.
The weather is atrocious.
It is. I mean, it could be any number of these things that you have just listed, or it could be all of them happening at the one time.
But you're still here, so...
Still going strong. As I've taken to saying this week, the horrors persist, but so do I. And that is the vibe that we're working with.
What more can you ask for?
I'm just going to keep going. How have you been this week, Renee?
Good. It's been a busy week. I am going out of town tomorrow for a couple of days, so trying to cram in a bunch of stuff. I had a really great thing happen that meant that I had to do a little bit more work than I expected.
Yeah.
So it's been a tiny bit stressful, but it's fine. It'll all work out in the end.
Yes, it will. And, you know, we always say what's meant to get done will get done, and what doesn't get done wasn't meant to get done.
Even if it fucks up your life.
Listen, if it fucks up your life, it was clearly meant to do that.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. It will fuck it up for reasons that will probably remain unknown to you.
Well, speaking of planets fucking up your life.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a witchy wisdom question this week that is relevant to our current timeline, a little bit behind the time for the listener's timeline, or conversely, you could say like 5.5 months ahead of time for the next time this happens.
Yep, yep.
So one of our listeners wants to know, will the eclipse help shift feelings of intense anxiety and overthinking?
What a question to ask. Eclipses are really interesting astronomical and astrological event. Because we're talking about like a solar eclipse, so this is the moon moving in front of the sun. To go back to the Bill Safi graphic that I've shared before on my Instagram, Miss Moon here to fuck shit up is the vibes. I think what quite often happens during eclipses is it's like quite intense energy because you've literally got the moon and the sun in the sky right on top of each other at the same fucking time. And that can feel in the moment quite like hazy and distorting, and you feel a bit kind of all over the place because it's a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's very disorienting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of energy all happening at once, particularly if you're really a lunar person or really a solar person, and then to have all of that energy in the sky at the one time is fucking wild. It's also Aries season, which is just wild in and of itself, with like and quite strong intense energy. It's the astrological new year. I think from what I've been kind of reading about the eclipse and seeing about the eclipse, it's kind of like you might feel really out of sorts during the eclipse, but once the eclipse is past, the clarity will come from there.
Yeah, to me it's a little bit like riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know the eclipse is going to happen. So, like, you can kind of prepare for it. But it's still, like, really jarring and scary. Like, you're working your way up to the top of the hill. You're kind of nervous. And then you plunge into craziness. And you're whipping around circles. And your energy is, like, all over the place. And shit's coming at you from this direction and that direction. And they can be really transformative as well. And if you're somebody who's up for change, that feels great. And you're like, ah, but this is so exciting. Yeah. And if you are somebody who's like, I want things to stay exactly as they are. If you're riding that roller coaster, you have your eyes squeezed tight shut and you're screaming your head off like, let me off, let me out of here.
Yeah.
But then that feeling when the roller coaster like zooms into the the end, like into the station where you can get off, and like your adrenaline sort of slows down and you're like, oh, thank God it's over, and the safety bar pops up and you can get out. Like, it's such a huge relief.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like having the energy, I was reading this earlier, of like 3 new moons happening at one time. Mm-hmm. So we get a new moon every month. We get that chance to like restart and rekindle and do all that stuff every month. And that can be quite intense. But it's like the power of like 3 of that combined. So it's just like new beginnings. Things are happening. They're throwing you in the deep end.
It's kind of like slapping you in the face.
Yeah, like you say, you're being rattled. Your brain has been rattled all around as you whiz around this roller coaster. And then once the eclipse has passed, you are pulling into the station and you're able to like stop and think and survey and go, right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you throw up first.
Listen, go throw up a little bit, then you're going to think about. Because also, eclipses can kind of be seen as like doorways. Mm-hmm. So stepping into a new segment or stepping out of an old segment or belief or whatever it is you want to do. So it's like, but you know, it's a bit like some kind of weird interdimensional portal. When you go through it, you're going to fall down a fucking tunnel before you get to where it is that, you know, down the rabbit hole, essentially. Yep. And then you're going to get, and you can, once you land, you can go, right, okay, where am I? What are we doing now? What have I learned from this experience? What feelings have come up during that experience? And I think that's really important during an eclipse to be aware of the feelings that are coming up. Because this person specifically was asking about like anxiety and overthinking. This is a really good time to analyze where those feelings are coming from. And do you want to take them through this portal into the next phase?
Because a solar eclipse blocks out all of the light from the sun. So it's a really opportune moment to get a peek into your shadow. So I think if you set the intention with the eclipse that you want to be able to overcome your feelings of anxiety and overthinking, and you use that moment, you use any feelings that come up as a window, as you said, into the source, the shadow that lies behind or underneath the root of your anxiety, if you're able to really tap into that, because the moment of the eclipse might make you feel a little bit anxious. But if you can bring an awareness to it of where those feelings are coming from, then you can use the tapering off as a way to then transmute that anxiety into something a little bit more manageable.
Yeah, it's definitely a great time for shadow work, because we are literally all in the shadow of the moon at this point in time. It's a really good time to do that deep dive on, why am I feeling like this? Where is this coming from? And what is it teaching me sometimes as well? Because usually our shadow side is always trying to teach us something. But we can take the lesson. We don't need to take the anxiety with us. You can take what the anxiety is trying to teach you forward, but you don't need to take the horrible feelings that it comes with it. So it's about, what are you going to take forward with you, and what are you going to, as you step through this doorway, what are you going to leave behind as you step through the doorway as well, I think.
Yeah. So eclipses in and of themselves, not the calmest of energy, but the opportunities they provide to transform are rare, and if you can take advantage of it, powerful.
Yes. And what's interesting, a second ago, and this literally just occurred to me when I was thinking about what we're going to be talking about today, you were like, sometimes at the moment of the eclipse, you might have quite a lot of anxiety. And I wonder if that is a leftover feeling from when we didn't know what eclipses were.
Yeah, they would have been fucking terrifying if the sun disappeared in the middle of the day and you didn't know why.
If that's an ancestral wound, as it were, where you go, what if the fucking sun doesn't come back?
Yeah.
What if it never,
because you'd all be totally screwed, because we literally cannot live without the sun.
We're fucked if the sun fucks off. So that really got me thinking about those kind of like ancestral feelings that sometimes live within us, just literally as you were saying that there. Because today, what we're talking about is a concept that's quite new to me, the witch wound.
Yeah, I think this peaked a couple of years ago with a more recent book about the Witch Wound that was released called Heal the Witch Wound by Celeste Larson. So I tried to look up and find out where this concept originated. Mm-hmm. And again, I only spent a few minutes trying to dig up this information and couldn't find it. Yeah. I heard some people referring to, I think the author's name is it Liz Lester? She wrote a book called Witch. Mm-hmm. That is quite well known. I haven't actually read it yet, but it's one of the more, like, you hear a lot of people saying, this book was my entrance into witchcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
So she definitely refers to it. So the concept is not new, no. But there is an upsurge in discussion around this idea of the witch wound, which mm-hmm. is this sort of ancestral trauma caused by the burning times, the European witch hunts of the, mm-hmm. I mean, it extended over a couple hundred years probably, yeah. But we'll say the Middle Ages up until probably the early Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, probably. I would say, yeah, it's the sort of main era when it was at its peak was probably kind of the 1500s, 1600s, mm-hmm. but it started before then and continued long after as mm-hmm. well, just maybe not with the same fervor that it did during those specific times.
Yeah, I mean, witchcraft was still illegal in the UK until, what, the 1950s?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's still illegal in some countries today, so it's mm-hmm. not...
There are still places in the world where you can be executed as a witch.
Yeah, it's not something that's gone away and that mm-hmm. we've forgotten about. It's still actively happening in the yeah. world today. I was going to say read. I listened to the Healing the Witch Wound book on mm-hmm. Audible because they had it on a deal where if you didn't have Audible, you could get it for 99p and you got a three-month free trial of Audible as well. I was like, well, I'll do that.
I don't get Audible because you have to pay for a membership but then also pay for books.
It is weird. But I paid 99 pence for this book and my membership, so that was fine.
As you can see from my bookmark, I'm still only halfway through reading the book. This is not a review of the book, but I don't know that this needed to be a whole book.
I think the thing about the book for me was the bits that I have done the most reading in and I have kind of skipped parts as I've wanted to learn about the witch wound mm-hmm. and the burning times. So for me, I enjoyed the book from a knowledge perspective. There was also a lot of information in there about healing the witch wound, mm-hmm. which...
I mean, that is the title of the book.
It is the title. It's the point of the book. For me personally, I'm not saying that information wasn't helpful, but like I've been practicing for a little while now. I know things that I can do for myself that information just personally for me wasn't particularly uh-huh. useful, would be very useful for lots yeah. of other things.
I think I, as well, I've read enough and studied enough that like as soon as I kind of read a couple sentences about what the witch wound was, like I just yeah. got it. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, now I know what the witch wound is. Yeah. I was the same. I'm probably about the same way through it as I have in terms of like how much I've actually read or uh-huh. listened to of the book. I did find it really interesting in terms of like how the witch wound can turn up in your life and things like that, which we'll obviously probably talk about
yeah.
further down the line. But just to very, very briefly recap what the witch wound is, as Renee said, it's this ancestral trauma that we have from these burning times, from when people, generally it was women, but there were men who were killed mm-hmm. as witches, but it was generally women who were killed as being witches. And in literal thousands across mm-hmm. yeah. the world. Mm-hmm. And it spread like a plague almost through Europe with different people. Mm-hmm.
And not just executed, but tortured.
Yeah.
Prior to execution. And you mentioned, you know, it was men and women. I want to say it was about an 80-20 split.
Yeah.
But the things like the Malleus Maleficarum, the Hammer of the Witches, this sort yeah. of witch hunter's guide, strongly suggests basically that all women are innately evil. Right? So just being a woman makes you bad.
Not so much that we're innately evil, but that we are so weak-willed that evil can control us so much easier than men. And we are so... The what's the word I'm trying to look for? The characteristics that we mm-hmm. have are so intrinsically linked to this personal weakness, this sinful nature, that we are easily swayed mm-hmm. by the devil.
Yeah, we just want to be bad and we're looking for somebody to take us along for the ride.
Yeah, we secretly want to be super lustful and sexy. And
yeah, which to me sounds like something that men wish women were.
It's also, what it sounds like to me is that she doesn't want to be sexy with you, friend, and you have a problem with that. Very much a lot of what was happening was men trying to take power from women. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time it was women who were widows and owned land or were outspoken or did things that men didn't like, and they were accused of witchcraft, sometimes by other women, because mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we drink the Kool-Aid, sometimes the misogyny is coming from inside the house, friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you know, women would accuse other women, and also, you know, people were being fucking tortured, they were mm-hmm. being sexually assaulted, they were being, you know, really, really horrendous things were happening to them. And yeah, in that moment, I don't think any of us can say with certainty what we would or wouldn't do.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think unless you are like highly trained by the CIA or something like that to withstand torture, you're gonna say whatever it takes to make the pain stop.
I would fucking crumble in a torture situation. So you can totally understand why things like that happened, why people gave false confessions, and they talk about that in it. And it's really interesting because I was reading recently about, you'll have seen this sort of phrase used quite a lot within the kind of witchcraft community. We are the granddaughters or daughters of the witches they couldn't burn, mm-hmm. right?
It's yeah, a really, I've seen that really, t-shirt.
Yeah, it's a really, really common thing that people say. And I was reading a sort of critical piece about that, uh-huh. that sort of line of thinking the other day, which was very much along the lines of the majority of the people who were burned during the burning times mm-hmm. were not witches.
Yeah.
There were people who were practicing folk magic. There were people who were herbalists. There were people who, midwives and things like that, who were using mm-hmm. natural remedies.
Yeah, there also, because there were no such thing as pharmaceuticals, so what the fuck else were you going to use? There were a lot of healers who were women who were practicing outside the sort of newly codified, male-dominated system of medicine and formalized, you know, doctor training and stuff like that.
But most of them were not and would not have identified as witches.
No.
They were people that the patriarchy,
especially not the
like.
Satanic witches described in texts like the Malleus Maleficarum.
Yeah, so to say we are the granddaughters of the witches that you couldn't burn is to do a disservice to these people mm-hmm. who were targeted because they were women, they were targeted because they were outspoken, they were targeted because they had land. It was nothing to do with the fact that they were fucking witches. It was just, that's what they said to justify their actions.
Yeah. I see that point, but also I think a lot of the modern witchcraft movement is about reclaiming the title of witch. And so it's not saying we think our ancestors were actual witches, but like you want to call us witches, you want to say that we're evil because you're afraid of our power. And so I'm going to call myself a witch because I want to reclaim my own power. So if you, it's kind of, I think to me, it's more saying I am, you know, a descendant of a powerful woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what was really interesting for me when I was listening to this book and learning about the Witch Wound is that I feel like the Witch Wound wouldn't just show up for people who identify as witches.
Oh yeah.
Because
definitely
of the fact that it wasn't just witches that they burned, it was it was strong women. It was, so as a woman who has grown up in a society where we know that if you potentially step out of line, there are these ramifications, they could decide to do that to us again. And they are, in some places in the world, still doing that shit to people. And they're overturning women's rights laws left, right and centre. You can understand why women of all backgrounds, even those who don't identify as witches, would experience the witch wound.
Yeah, because the witch hunts were really about conformity and obedience.
Yes.
It didn't actually have anything to do with witchcraft if you dug down far enough. Like, it's just be who we think you should be, do what we say you should do. And if you don't do that, we'll, you know, stick you with hot pins in the genitals.
Yeah. And I think that that, you know, that's why it was really interesting for me when she was talking about how the witch wound shows up in our lives, and it's often being scared to speak your truth. It's mm-hmm. being scared to dress how you want to dress, to show up how you want to show up, to be your authentic self. Because, you know, we might say, oh, I'm worried about people thinking I'm weird.
Mm-hmm.
As a modern day concept, which goes back to, I'm worried that I'm not conforming to what society yeah. wants, and therefore might die as mm-hmm. a result of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are certainly cases, I'm thinking especially of trans people and things like that, yeah. where the consequences of stepping outside the norm can be extremely severe, including
Absolutely.
Torture and death. But for like a boring cis white hetero woman in her, mm-hmm. you know, middle-aged, middle-class, average everything like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, stepping outside the norm, today the consequences are like maybe you get, you know, somebody talks shit about you, or maybe, you know, you lose a friend or something like that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem that extreme, but because of this epigenetic trauma that we have within mm-hmm. us, it feels like the fear of being tortured and killed is still buried deep within our psyches.
Yeah, and there's been research into trauma to suggest that trauma can be passed down through generations. We see it even in crows.
Mm-hmm.
If you treat a crow badly, it will teach its kids not to not to trust you, or that you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. Like
you are a bad person.
Yeah, uh-huh. If you treat a crow badly, yes. you absolutely are, and you deserve to be hated by the crows forever. But, like, there's research to suggest that this trauma can be passed down. People become afraid of things that they have never experienced mm-hmm. and have traumatic associations with things that they haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do it just from working with people who have experienced too much trauma. You can have that vicarious trauma. It's almost like it's contagious sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, principle of vibration.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all vibrating on the same plane. And we learn these vibrations from other people as well. Like, there was a lot of chat in the book around worries about money and, you know, stability and all of these sorts of things, which you can definitely see is passed down through generations mm-hmm. based on how your grandparents handled their money and mm-hmm. your parents handled their money and yeah. you handled your money.
But during the burning times, for a woman to have her own money was a risk factor.
Yeah, absolutely, because somebody would come along, take it off you, and then call you a witch
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for having money. Yeah. So that idea of, you know, women owning land, or women being able to get credit cards and things like that, which is actually, again, something really, really recent that women could actually even
mm-hmm. 1970s, I think.
Yeah.
Before uh-huh, a woman could have her own credit card.
Yeah, or women, you know, women owning property that wasn't in their husband's name mm-hmm. and things like that. These are all still very recent historical developments mm-hmm. for women. So it totally makes sense that, you know, what, 40, 50 years later, we're still feeling the effects of that mm-hmm. because they were feeling the effects of it from hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, it's deep stuff, and yeah. it's, you know, once you, again, you know, once you kind of understand this concept, then it just really opens your eyes to like, oh, this is why X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. This is why women don't trust each other. This is why, you know, you're afraid to act too feminine. This is why you yeah. don't want to share your spiritual awakening. You know, mm-hmm. all these kinds of things. It doesn't have to be just about, as you said, an experience with witchcraft or magic. It's anything that takes you outside of the currently accepted norms of society.
Yeah, anything that stops you from stepping into your power, however that looks for you, whatever mm-hmm. that looks like for you, whatever you feel like, that thing that you really want to do, but you're worried what people will think about mm-hmm. you, or how people will react, or how people will treat you afterwards,
mm-hmm.
that is linked to the witch wound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think personally for me, you know, I definitely have some like minor fears about not conforming, but I also mm-hmm. feel so lucky that I was, you know, I've been raised by powerful women who weren't mm-hmm. afraid to be different. So I really had that modeled for me. I was strongly encouraged to always be myself, find my mm-hmm. own way, make up my own mind. You know, my dad was very against organized religion, didn't like us going to any kind of church. I was always curious about it. Mm-hmm. Probably largely because it was what my friends were doing, but I know now, like, there was always something in me that wanted to have a deeper connection with mm-hmm. spirit, with the universe. But what I was taught was to read everything you can and make up your mm-hmm. own mind. So yeah. I was never encouraged to conform. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't as difficult for me when I decided to become a witch. Granted, I was much older. I was 40-something. Mm-hmm. So I had lots of years of experience of pushing the boundaries and things like that. But when I decided mm-hmm. to become a witch, I didn't have like a massive fear about talking about it. I was a little bit nervous because mm-hmm. nobody likes to be like ridiculed. It's not fun.
No.
But I didn't experience that like, oh, I can't tell anybody. I didn't experience like, you know, throat chakra blockage or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I was just like, guess what? I'm doing another weird thing.
Yeah. What's new for me?
Yeah.
I'm just doing the same shit every day. Yeah, I think for me, there definitely is definitely something I've stepped into more recently as being like more of myself and being more open about myself. Because I think definitely, like, I was never discouraged from being myself, but I was never really actively encouraged either, mm-hmm, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like, I remember, like, I went to church as a child because I asked my mum to take me to church when I was a child, and so we went for like the next fucking 10 years of my life. And it very much always was, my mum's not religious, it very much always was, oh, you can make up your own mind. Mm-hmm. But I was never shown or encouraged to look at other sources, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, like to read other religious, that sort of, because they just weren't around the house, like, so there's definitely. And I think for a long time I did think I was religious in some way, shape, mm-hmm. or form.
Yeah, I think that's a cultural thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just, you know, especially where I live, like, growing up, there were not very many people of other cultures mm-hmm. around where I live. So you didn't really have any other references to go on. You didn't have anybody else that was telling mm-hmm. you something different. It wasn't until really, probably when I went to high school, when I did what we would call religious education, I didn't go to a religious school, so it was a bit more open and talking about different world religions mm-hmm. and things, and things like utilitarianism and all of that sort of stuff. And then I studied, I did a higher in religious moral and philosophical studies when I was at school, and I found that really interesting. And again, I've always had that kind of thirst for knowledge about other things. Mm-hmm. I was always really interested in religions that didn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Like,
that'll Egyptians. Be your Sagittarius moon. We love
Yeah, but like, I was obviously really interested in learning about different modes of spirituality, mm-hmm. but for me it was kind of pegged more as like a historical interest. So I was interested in the ancient Egyptians, I was interested in the Greeks and the Romans and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But what I was really interested in were their gods mm-hmm. and learning about their deities and mm-hmm. things like that. So I think there always was that element. But I think, yeah, you get to that age where you just don't want to be weird and you don't want to be different, and it depends.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you'll know this from your study of psychology, like, conformity is a, like, key driver in sort of middle adolescence.
Yeah, it's, like, a driver in safety, it's a driver in literally continuing your life mm-hmm. and making those social connections, and, like, nobody really at the age of 15 or 16 is an individual. I know they think they are, mm-hmm. but they're not, because they can't be.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few, there maybe is one, like, a couple of people who really are individual mm-hmm. and don't care what other
it's
people
it's very
think.
Much that age of, I'm different, just like everybody else.
Yeah, uh-huh. All of us goths together, or yeah. all of us Neds together, uh-huh. or chavs, or, you know, jocks, or whatever you want to call them. Like, yeah, I'm really individual because I'm a goth, but I'm hanging out in a room full of goths.
Yeah, people who look really, just like me. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but that's a normal part of human development. That's like,
oh, yeah.
There have been, you know, brain image mapping shit about this. I don't know anything about it, but I know that it's happened, and scientists much smarter than me have proven it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, it quite often shows up in that, like, not wanting to speak my truth. No, I actually had a situation today where I had to speak to, like, a senior manager in my workplace about something that, not that I'm, like, it's not a complaint, but it's something that I kind of want to register my opinion about as it specifically relates to my role. And I was really nervous about it because I was like, what if they think I'm being rude? What if they think I'm being presumptuous? All of that sort of stuff. Like, having the conversation with the person who is also a woman was like, yeah, you definitely should be bringing this to our attention. Like, but it's that just feeling that you don't deserve to speak up, or if I speak up, something bad is going to happen to me. I'm going to be treated poorly or so. And, like, that's also part of things that have happened to me in the past. But also, I think this deep-rooted belief that, like, people don't want to hear what you have to say, or, like, speaking up or standing up for what's right or what's true. It doesn't really matter what you think's right and what's true, because it's the people who are in power that are going to make the decisions anyway.
Yeah, and if you look at it from, a gendered perspective,
yeah,
men don't, not all men, but a lot of men don't have
the... Hashtag not all men.
Like, I definitely know some guys who would be afraid to have that conversation.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there would, I definitely know that there are guys who'd be like, they don't have the same level of fear and anxiety of asking for what they want, putting themselves out there, just assuming that they can do shit without any, like, training or practice. They don't feel like they need to be perfect at everything before they will go out and, like, ask for a job or something like that.
I actually watched a video on TikTok today that was like, every gay man thinks that he would do great on Drag Race. Every straight man thinks that he could be a comedian. And women really need to get more self-confidence. That was like, yes.
Yeah. And the exactly witch wound true. Argues that the reason why we don't put ourselves out there and to attract attention to ourselves is because we don't want to be burned at the stake.
Yeah, you literally, yeah, that's what it is. Like, that deep-seated fear that something really bad is going to happen to you if you do these things.
Yeah. One of our listeners, Lauren, who is also a friend of mine and hopefully a future guest on the podcast.
Always.
She first shared some really insightful comments and then asked a question at the end.
Yes.
So, she said, I feel it is a wound we all carry and we all have a duty to heal in our own ways. It doesn't even have to be by practicing anything witchy. I feel like we can heal by reclaiming our voice, by following our dreams, by passing on recipes, by passing on traditions that would have caused accusations back in earlier centuries. So her question is, how would you heal the witch wound and where do you start?
I think that that's a really great comment because, again, it goes back to that idea that we were talking about, that this doesn't just affect people who identify as witches. It affects so many different people.
My aside to that is that all of the things that she suggested can easily become witchcraft if you just add a bit of intention to it.
Yeah, everything's witchcraft. I think the first place for me in terms of, like, where to start would be, as Lauren has said, it's going to impact us all in different ways. So I can't tell you specifically what to do to heal your witch wound because your witch wound and my witch wound, while caused by the same thing, are not necessarily going to be
the same.
They're
going to manifest in different ways based on your personal experiences, based on your upbringing, things like that.
Yeah. So I think that what you need to do is you need to do some of that shadow work that we talked about earlier in the episode and figure out, how is the witch wound showing up for you? In what ways can you identify in your life that potentially are being impacted by this potential witch wound? So I think that's probably a good start in place. And then, again, it's going to be really individual. Once you figure out what that is, what do you feel that you need to fill that wound with? What are you gonna, you know, fill that hole with so that it doesn't continue to impact your life, so you're not bleeding out from your witch wounds all the time?
One of the things that Celeste Larson talked about in the book was sort of direct ancestral trauma or even past life trauma. But I bring this up because she talked about her experience of having sort of unfounded anxiety around, like, pain around her throat. It wasn't caused by anything physical, but she had, like, a real fear of being choked or being strangled.
Yeah, a fear of, like, anything being near her neck, which I really resonated with, but that's also because I was born with my umbilical cord around my neck, so that could be actual present life trauma.
Yeah, yeah. So she thinks potentially this is past life trauma. You don't need to do any type of past life regression to identify the witch wound within yourself.
No.
But if you have experiences where you feel a sort of inordinate sense of fear, it could be that this witch wound is at the core of that. So this is where you can start to unpick, well, where, how might this be showing up for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a fear or a phobia you have that doesn't really seem to have any basis in your life? Like I said, for me, I was born with my umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, starved of oxygen.
Yeah.
So my fear of things touching my neck is potentially present life related from that trauma as a baby.
But it's not a conscious memory. Like, no, you know, like, that because somebody told you. You don't actually remember it, but your body remembers.
Yeah, because your body keeps the score. So, that for me, I know is probably linked to like a present life thing because of information I know about my life. But if there's things about you that you're just like, why does that make me so uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. Or why am I afraid? And we're not talking about like being afraid of snakes when you're not really around snakes. Snakes are a natural predator. You're allowed to be afraid.
And that's, you know, that's also an ancestral trauma, but it's one that you need because they can still kill you.
Absolutely, they can. And they will try sometimes. But like, if there's something that just like that doesn't make sense, like I've known people who are like, terrified of like drowning, have never drowned before. Why would you be so scared of that when you've never experienced it and things like that? So yeah, thinking about those sorts of things, thinking about areas of your life that you struggle in, that you really struggle to step into your power, areas that you are, you know, maybe you've been constantly trying to work on, but you just can't seem to work out why it's not working for you. Could be linked to your witch wound as well. And then that's, once you know that, you can do that work to heal the witch wound rather than constantly pushing for something that you're not going to achieve because you don't understand where it's coming from in the first place.
And, you know, there's a lot of individual work that you can do in terms of, you know, personal shadow work and things like that. But I think also, like, if this is something that is really inhibiting your life, I think looking at therapies that specifically tap into the subconscious mind. So things like potentially NLP, if it's not like too serious, but also like hypnotherapy or the belief coding that we talked about a couple months ago with Joe Stevenson, things that are going to help you get underneath the surface. Because when you're dealing with these like multi-generational ancestral traumas, like the witch wound, you really need to dig like a serious hole into your subconscious space.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not the type of work that you can just like look at the top layer.
Just brush away the little bit of soil off the top.
Yeah, like give it a little dust.
You're gonna have to call in the backhoe.
Yeah, you're gonna need to get your gardening gloves out and your shovel. And you're going to need to dig that bitch up. You need to find where the bodies are buried in your brain. And you need to
So if it's really intense for you, you may need some outside help.
Yes, absolutely. Like, we always talk about how witchcraft is CBT with crystals. But it's also not a replacement for actual medical and professional help, if that's what you need to be able to get through that. Like, we are absolutely massive fans of counselling and therapy on this podcast. Yeah,
100%.
If that's what you need, if you need that extra support, then absolutely go and get it.
Yeah. And also, this is unrelated, but I just feel like I need to say it. Medication, if you need it.
Yeah, don't feel bad about taking medication, because again,
meds are magic.
Mental health, well, yeah, but also mental health linked to the witch wound, because quite a lot of people who were burned as witches, who were just mentally unwell in some way, and therefore didn't conform to society, and will have maybe said things or done things that made people think they were a little bit strange, and therefore they were, air quotes, possessed, and were burned as witches. Yeah. So again, I think that sometimes that pain around dealing with our mental health, around taking medication for our mental health, around getting support for our mental health can also probably be linked back to the witch wind because of the way that people have been treated for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they've had mental health problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Take your meds, kids.
Uh-huh. Get help when you need it. Don't be afraid to ask for help just because a couple hundred years ago you would have gotten you killed.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Don't let that put you off. It's fine.
There's probably a whole other conversation to be had about the way that the witch wound sort of crosses over with colonialism, because this book in particular, but the whole concept around the witch wound originating with European witch hunts is very Western-centric. It's very white-centered. And that can still affect all kinds of people because it's kind of, you know, in the collective unconscious now. But it doesn't address the way that colonialism, missionaries, you know, et cetera, also raped, pillaged, tortured, and systematically erased Native cultures and belief systems of Indigenous peoples who had, a rich culture and history and belief, and that was forced out of them. So that's a whole separate thing that is not addressed in this book. And I always feel like there's just like this, like, hole in the wall of what she's trying to construct that we're just like, we're just not going to look over there right now. But I just want to acknowledge that that exists and is its own separate thing that is a huge deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly the way if we think that Black women are portrayed in society, for example, to pick just obviously one race, but, you know, as being loud and abrasive and in your face.
Or overly sexualized.
Yeah, overly sexualized, particularly from a young age. And that, again, linked to not conforming to what we want you to do, to white values, to all of that type of stuff. Yeah, it was something that I actually was going to mention earlier on, and that I noticed about the book, that, you know, obviously it's coming from like a feminist perspective, but it's not very intersectional in terms of, it kind of just talks about white women. Yeah,
I think it's a valuable conversation to have.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it as, if you expand out on the concept of the witch wound to being anything where your ancestors were killed for not conforming and obeying, like you can extrapolate it out into other situations, but the history that they refer to is strictly the European witch hunts.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't talk about any other, because it doesn't mention anything. Obviously, it doesn't mention anything about colonialism. It doesn't really touch on sexuality from what I have.
There's a couple of offhand remarks about, you know, transgender women and gender as a spectrum and things like that. But it's just like, this exists, but it's not really the focus of this book.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, not every book can be about everything, but it's something to be aware of when you're reading the book, that these perspectives are maybe not going to be looked at in that book. And it's something that is very, very important, considering the things that are currently going on in today's society for trans people, for Black women, for, you know, people who are still living outside of what society deems to be, or not even society, certain people within society, white Christian.
Well, yeah, the people with all the power and the money.
Yeah, deemed to be societally acceptable. And people are still being killed for being different and for not doing what's expected of them. Whether that be through being transgender, being a Black person that doesn't conform to when the police tell you what to do, being a woman who rejects a man. Like, these things are still happening in society today. Obviously not as on such a larger scale, but it's really important that we don't forget that this stuff is still happening.
Yeah.
And it's linked. It's all linked.
Absolutely.
So I know we ended that on a relatively low note there, but I think if you can think about your witch wind and you do some work on it and work on a little bit of healing on your witch wind, it's definitely going to add something to your life. It's definitely, hopefully, going to open your eyes about mm-hmm. things about yourself that you maybe didn't understand about. And I think any time that we can do some self-reflection, it's just going to make us more awesome.
Absolutely.
Renee, what's making you awesome this week?
Well, you were with me at this event, so we can both yes. talk about it, because I think you enjoyed it as well. But in our timeline last weekend, we were at the Witchy Wedding Fair.
We were.
And it was so fun. It was such a well-run event. The vibe mm-hmm. was, like, so high. All the vendors were lovely. The space was beautiful. The playlist was on point.
Impeccable.
Just the whole energy of the entire situation was incredible. Obviously, you know, exciting for my business, but also I just mm-hmm. loved being in that atmosphere, meeting mm-hmm. people. I counted up a couple days later and I did 19 readings.
That's amazing.
So I got to, I got to help a lot of people see their lives more clearly, think about what they wanted and how they could make their lives more awesome. And that is always such a huge gift. For me, like, I love doing that.
Absolutely. It was such a lovely event. There were so many, as you say, awesome people there. The vendors were all super friendly and super nice. I went around and, like, talked to all of them at different points in the day, and it was so nice to meet everybody. All of the people who came through the door were really nice. Even people who weren't interested in tarot readings were super lovely and really open. And I think as well, because it was a wedding fair, there was just, like, It didn't feel like a wedding fair where people were trying to sell you mm-hmm. stuff. It felt like a wedding fair where people were trying to add things to your special mm-hmm. day and to make your day as wonderful as it could possibly be. And that vibe just really fit. It was a day of love. Mm-hmm. Like, you felt the love yeah. in the room. There were so many beautiful couples that we met on the day mm-hmm. Who were sharing their plans for their wedding, sharing their love with us. And yeah, I just thought it was really lovely. The event was so well run. Jen, who organized it, was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And like you say, the playlist was amazing. The singers and the musicians who were playing mm-hmm. live on the day.
I wasn't expecting to hear that much Nirvana, but there was a lot of yeah. acoustic Nirvana jams going on.
There was. And it was great. I loved every minute of it. We were there with our good friend of the pod, Hannah from Elegant Beauty the Ginger Empress, but also Elegant uh-huh, Beauty uh-huh. by Hannah Hill. We were sharing a table with her, uh-huh. so it was great to hang yep. out with her as well. So, yeah, it was just a wonderful day.
Yeah. I got to hang out a little bit because it was a little bit slow getting started, but, like, once the tarot readings started, they did not stop. So I was yeah. very much, like, almost in a separate world, but Louise was my sidekick and saleswoman yeah. for the day, so she got to talk to a lot of the guests who were just sort of passing by. And I'm so mm-hmm. grateful that you were there, because there's no way that I would have been able to do both of those things mm-hmm. and so having you there to speak to other people really helped me to focus on just offering great tarot readings to people mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I feel like that elevated the vibe of the experience for, you know, those people who received readings as well. So, and your celebrant was there?
She was, yeah. The wonderful Catherine Hansen. Shout out to Catherine, who married me and my husband almost 3 years. In fact, by the time this podcast comes out, it will almost be our anniversary because mm-hmm. We got married on the 30th of April. And yeah, I was totally surprised to see her. So it was so lovely to catch up with her after 3 years of not seeing her and to get an actual hug mm-hmm. in person, because we got married during COVID yeah. and you weren't allowed to hug each other. So we couldn't get a hug on our wedding day. So it was lovely to catch up with her and see her. It was just a great yeah. day, I thought.
It really
I was shattered by the end of it. Me too. I was so tired. So tired. I got after I dropped you off, I got a Burger King on the way home for me and my husband.
We ordered Five Guys.
Yeah, we were obviously all on the same wavelength with the burgers for dinner. But yeah, no, it was delicious and I loved it.
Oh, good. Well, what's making you feel awesome this week?
So I don't know why I didn't talk about this last week, because it would have made more sense. As you will know if you've been listening to this podcast over the last few weeks, both Renee and I have recently visited the inimitable CJ from Tangible Hairdressing, mm-hmm. who is, again, friend of the podcast, has come on here to, if you haven't listened to her Reiki episode, you should definitely listen to
She's coming on next month as well.
She's back again next month. And so I was in the salon a couple of weeks ago getting my hair done, and it's been like a year since the last time I was in CJ's chair. And it's kind of now our thing where I go once a year, get my balayage topped up. I top it up with colour during the year myself, but I go and get the, you know, the highlights and stuff topped up once a year. And Renee and I have decided that next year we're going on a joint Ostara hairdressing salon trip, and CJ is totally up for it. And just the whole experience of going to see CJ is just incredible. You and I talked years ago now at this point about how you were looking for a salon where it was like witchy, but this like the services were good because we want to go to a good salon and, you know, that sort of stuff. And then I had started seeing CJ, and then you started seeing CJ, and she's just incredible. And the salon space is just beautiful. It just feels like a hug when you go in. It feels like you're going to see an old friend, and you just spend your 4 hours there just chatting away about life and spirituality and work and whatever else. And it just feels, it feels almost like a counselling session while you're there as well. And as always, I left the chair looking incredible. We went for a slightly darker, more bold pink colour than I usually go for when I'm seeing CJ. And honestly, I was sat in the mirror and she's like, do you like it? I was like, CJ, I am in love with myself. Like, I am actually, like, look at me. Uh-huh. And she was like, I know, right? Like, and there was another woman in the salon at one point getting a fringe cut, and she was like, oh my God, your hair. I was like, I know, isn't it incredible? And then Emmy came in because she was next door in Hawn, and she was like, oh my God, your hair. I was like, I know.
It was spectacular.
Like, yeah, it was incredible. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you will have seen the pictures that I was posting of myself, because I just could not get enough of myself. I was obsessed. And I think that was what was so special about the experience for me, is that's how you want to feel when you leave a salon. You want to feel obsessed with yourself, because it's not always in life that we always feel obsessed with ourselves. I feel like I am either, I am disgusting, a hideous troll, or I'm obsessed with myself. There's like no in between. I'm either one of those on any given day. And it's just nice to leave a space that you felt so supported in, you felt so cared for in as well, because it's a really personal experience when you go to CJ's. It's a small salon. It's not like a really big salon where you get left for hours while they go off and do someone else's hair. Even when other people come in to get wee fringe trims or whatever, we all chat together and have a bit of a talk. And it was just a great experience, and I loved it. And I also love myself. So, yeah.
Good. I love that for you. That, yeah, it's such a great feeling. It's such a high vibe space.
It is, yeah. And you just take that vibe with you when you leave, don't you? You just like, and obviously CJ infuses everything with Reiki because she's a Reiki master, and you get a lovely little head massage and all that when you go in. And it's just a great experience.
There's crystals everywhere.
Crystals everywhere, cards, wonderful artwork. Yeah. It's just great. I love it.
Amazing. Well, kids, if you have thoughts, feelings about the witch wound, if you want to share with us how it shows up in your life, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at osmon20@gmail.com. Let us hear all about it in the Coven of Awesomeness Facebook group. If you're not a member yet, get on in there and share your feelings. Come hang out with us on Instagram. I'm at Renee_osmon20.
I'm at Louise_Awesome120.
And you will find show notes with links to everything we talked about in this episode, including a link to the book that we were referring to at awesomeon20.com/episode150. While you're there, if you have an ice cream maker, I need you to make yourself just regular old homemade vanilla ice cream. Nothing fancy, no mix-ins. Pure vanilla deliciousness. Use real cream, the high fat stuff. Do not skimp. It's going to be the best thing you've ever eaten.
Vanilla ice cream, when you get good vanilla ice cream, there's just no care about. When you get the little beans, the little vanilla beans through it, it's just there's just nothing else quite like it. I don't know why people think vanilla is, but why has vanilla become synonymous with boring? Vanilla's fucking delicious.
I know. We have this conversation all the time because I get mad about it. But homemade vanilla ice cream is the best food ever. So do yourself a favor and make that happen. Mm-hmm. I also have spinach Alfredo mac and cheese.
Oh, so it's delicious.
Cheesy and gooey, but there's a vegetable.
Yeah.
So you can pretend like you're eating something healthy, even though it's definitely not.
I love a secret vegetable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I have my full moon roundup for this month, which is what to eat for the pink moon.
Oh, I love the pink moon.
I know, me too. She's so cute.
She is. I love that.
Also want to let you know that the doors are open for the Moon Magic membership. There are three different levels for you to get involved with that. So if you're looking to create a more consistent witchcraft practice, you want to tune into the energies of the moon, check in with yourself on a regular basis to make sure that you are manifesting your wildest dreams, come and join us over in the Moon Magic membership. You can just stay on the outside, do your own thing, get the content at the new moon level, or you can go straight to the top and get deeply involved, come to meetings, check in with me on a regular basis. Lots of different options. They're all awesome.
I love that. If joining a witchcraft community is your thing, if expanding a witchcraft community sounds like something you'd be interested in.
I mean, it seems like a great way to heal your witch wound by connecting with other witches.
Listen, we don't want to tell you what to do to heal your witch wound, right? But if you wanted to connect with other witches in the pursuit of healing your witch wound, you could help a gal out by rating and reviewing her podcast on your favourite podcast app. You might see some lonely looking stars hanging about. Just tap all five of them. This is a 5-star podcast. We give you 5-star content every week for 150 weeks.
Yeah, baby.
We've been doing this shit now, so I think we deserve that 5-star. I think that would heal
I think we deserve 150 stars. Can we get those?
Get 30 of your friends to come along and give us all 5 stars, and that would be 1 star for every one of our podcast episodes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that I think that sounds like a great idea.
Don't do the opposite and give us 151-star ratings, though.
No, don't do that. That would be very unhelpful. That would make my witch wound worse.
Yes.
Please don't give us one-star reviews. Because also, we'll fucking slate you on the podcast if you give us a 1-star review, as we accidentally did for our friend's partner who didn't mean to leave us a 1-star review. Leave us a little rating. Leave us a review. If you leave us a review, screenshot it and send it to us so that we can read it on the podcast, because we love to do that as well. If you want to be even more awesome, if you want to get even more healing for the old witch wind, you can hit us up on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/awesomeon20, where for as little as £1 a month, you can be inducted into the ICOA, the International Coven of Awesomeness. You can join our special group chat over on Instagram, where you'll meet the most awesome witches that you will ever meet in your life. You will also get a shout out on this podcast, and you will also get 13% off Renee's Sagittarian Tarot and Coaching services. So if you're interested in that Moon Magic membership that we talked about, sign up for £1. You will get well more than £1 off the membership. This is good for you. This is what you should be doing. If you want to sign up at one of the higher tiers, you'll get all of the previous content from the lower tiers, plus all of the previous content from the like nearly 3 years that we've been creating content on Patreon. Prolific content creation is our bag over here. You will get ad-free recipes, you will get moon journal prompts, you will get to watch our monthly bonus video where we do Witches Watch. By the time you're hearing this, we are probably recording our next episode, which will be about the second season of A Discovery of Witches. So if you're interested in that, sign up at the next highest tier. At the third tier, you can get a spell or a ritual each month. You will get a Patreon exclusive recipe. You'll get extended editions of the podcast. So if you want me to try and work out how many fives there are in 150, you should sign up, because I can't do maths, and sometimes we talk shit on this podcast and then we cut it out so that 7 billion people don't have to hear us saying how bad I am at maths. And at the highest tier, you can become part of our book club, and you will also get a custom 3-card tarot reading sent to your inbox every single month. What are you waiting for, our witchy little friends? Head on over to Patreon. We're at patreon.com/awesomeon20.
Love it. I definitely think that practicing witchcraft with you has helped me heal in many ways.
I definitely think that you introducing me to witchcraft has helped me become the person that I am today, and I'm forever grateful for it.
Rock and roll. That's fucking awesome.
Rock and roll. Absolutely. Let's rock and roll right on out of here.
See Great idea. Later. Bye.
Bye. The horrors persist, but so do I.